Well, good morning everyone. Pastor David here on Sunday, the 4th of July. And as we continue looking at the story of Ruth, we see how Naomi, in the disaster of being in Moab, has turned back to go and fellowship and live with God's people. And in the brokenness of her life, she finds the kindness, beauty, and grace of God.
Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Bread for the children, justice, joy, peace. Sunrise to sunset, your kingdom increase.
So now our prayer Father God, we do thank you that you are the God of the poor. The poor materially and the poor spiritually. And we thank you and praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who turns our lives around and helps us to follow him and to love him, so that our love moves on from a spark to a flame. And we pray that you will be with us now as we meet together in this way around your word. And we pray in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to continue doing the usual with the birthdays for July. Two birthdays to remember and to send our greetings. Firstly, to George. We send to you our best wishes for your birthday, and a big thank you, George, for all you've done week by week faithfully in putting these recordings on our website. And then to Peter Livett, we send you our greetings too for your birthday, Peter. And again, grateful thanks for all the help that you've given us, and certainly given me, in finding hymns and music to put on our services. So, for you both, this is for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
So we do turn now to this book of Ruth for the second time. We're looking at chapter 2. And last week we left Naomi feeling very bitter towards God. She still believes in God, of course, but her view of God is that he's not good. But despite this, she had turned, and along with Ruth, she comes back to the promised land, back to God's people. Two widows now, with nothing and very few rights. In chapter 2 now, placards before us. Placards to Naomi and to us what God is really like. And the first thing to see is that God is in absolute control. Just look at the list of so-called coincidences. They return to Bethlehem, and it happens to be at the peak time of the barley harvest, poor, starving, and empty. But they return to the place of abundant food. Verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. Abundant food, and would you believe it? There's a relative living there, but not just any relative. Boaz is described as a man of standing. He's a man of wealth. He's a man of influence. And suddenly things don't look half as bad as at first. But they still have no food. So Ruth leaves to find work. And you know, in God's kindness, he still expects us to do what we can do in whatever our situation. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turned out, Well, without any prior knowledge, she's an absolute and total stranger to the land. Ruth starts work in a field that belongs to Boaz. And as she begins to work, just then Boaz himself arrives, of all the fields she could have worked in. And on that particular day, and at that particular time, what an amazing set of what the world calls coincidences. But of course they're not coincidences. It's there for us to see that Naomi's God, that your God, my God, is sovereign, in total control, and he works for his people, even in the smallest details of their lives. Do you believe that about yourself? Do you trust and rely on that truth? Verse 4 again. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they called back. The first glimpse of this man Boaz is that he's a godly man. It's a man who doesn't leave God at church on a Sunday. His relationship with God impacts every area of his life, even the ordinary, everyday events of his work life. Boaz knows that true God worship is not about singing so much, but about how you live in all the areas of your life. And I wonder if that is true of us. Verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess, who came back from Moab with Naomi." So Boaz inquires about this unknown young woman, and he's told quite forcibly that she's a foreigner. Twice that's underlined, that she's a foreigner, and from all places, from that hated Moab. The foreman responds in the usual way. Foreigners coming to live here. He knows the law requires that foreigners be treated in a certain way, and he complies. Well, he complies only because he has to. But look at Boaz, verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls." What a contrast. "My daughter," he says. This God follower is different. He cares. Boaz knows that although the law instigated by God requires gleaning for the poor, for the widows, gleaning's that collecting of bits of leftover food, he knows that the law is often applied very reluctantly and with malice and hostility. So, verse 9. "Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." Told the men not to harm you. You see, being a foreigner from Moab made Ruth very vulnerable. But Boaz had told his men not to harm her. The off-normal attitude would be, "Look at these foreigners. Look at these immigrants coming here, taking our jobs and our food. Should go back to their own country." But again, the God follower Boaz is so different. "Stay. Stay in my field. Take as much as you need. Get as much fresh water as you desire." And when it gets to lunchtime, obviously Ruth has no food of her own, not brought a packed lunch, so Boaz invites her to eat his food with him. Verse 14, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar.' When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted corn, and she ate all she wanted and had some left over. So now Ruth has so much she can't eat it all, and when she goes back to work, Boaz calls his men and tells them to leave extra food for her to gather and to do nothing to harm or to embarrass her. And this response is recorded there, and it's meant to amaze us, because this is not how outsiders were treated, and especially Moabites. So Ruth ends the day, because of the care and because of the generosity of Boaz, with enough food to last her and Naomi for 3 weeks. Boaz's following of God goes far beyond church services. It overflows in his love and care for others, even outsiders. And love and care like that touches people. It reaches people. Verse 10. At this, Ruth bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Well, the second thing we see about God from this chapter is found there in verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before." You see, God provides for all who come to him for refuge. And Boaz sees that Ruth too has become a God follower. Today's Christian. Verse 12. "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She has come to God as a total outsider with no rights, with nothing to her name. And she's cast herself on God's grace and mercy. And God accepts her and provides for her through one of his people, Boaz. And it's a picture of the gospel. We are outsiders. We're enemies of God, having no rights to God's mercy, with nothing to bring but our sin. Our only hope is to cast ourselves by faith upon God's loving kindness, his mercy and his grace. And when a person does that, they find that through the Lord Jesus, God provides all they need to be rescued and saved, forgiven and restored. Boaz says, "My daughter, you're part of my family." And God says to you and to me, he says, "Welcome, my child. Welcome, son and daughter." This is our God who brings the outcast, the outsider, right into his own family. Listen to how he describes himself in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. "And the Lord passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" My dear friends, how we need to see this again and again, that this is our God. It's just so easy to slip into a Naomi kind of view of God when things are not going well for us. But this is the one we come to for refuge through the Lord Jesus. And it's not a one-off thing at conversion, but it's ongoing, day by day. We keep on coming to him, the God who provides grace, mercy, provides love and forgiveness. And so verse 18. "So Ruth carried it all back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Naomi's blown away. She's astonished at what has happened. Verse 19. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "The Lord has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Is this the same Naomi who was bitter towards God? Well, no. God's grace has reached even Naomi. And now, full of joy and thanks for a God who has given them far more than she could ever have dreamed of, and we too are amazed at God's grace. In Jesus, God has given us far, far more than we could have ever imagined. And so the final thing we see about our God is that he keeps on showing his loving kindness to his children. God never stops loving his child. He's never stopping. His love is unbreakable love. It's unbreakable kindness. Someone called it love of another kind. And this is our God, the sovereign God in total control. Even when bad things, when hard things are happening around us, he's still working for our good. He's the God who provides refuge for all who come to him, and the God who never, never stops loving us, even when we fail to love him. What a wonderful picture we have here in the book of Ruth of our God. Can I ask you, is that your God? Is that how you see him? May this chapter 2 of Ruth have brought us a fresh glimpse of the truth of our God and his loving kindness, which is never ending. And may we come to him and cast ourselves on him and his grace and love, and find in him again all that we need.
Let's cry.